Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
Well.
Bright, sunshiny day. We didn't get any rain, but that's all right. God lets it rain just and the unjust, right? But we're here today. That's all that matters. Let's see. How about we start with 380, and let's stand, please. 380. We ever heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
We the weary land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Dealt to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Her shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the last. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us here today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come here today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the folks that showed up. Good week we had, Lord. Many things we got accomplished, keeping us, Lord. Those that are sick, Lord, getting well, thank you for that. Thank you for my church family, Lord. I just love them all. Just glad they're here today with me. Lord, we're anticipating some time in your word today, along with our pastor. Lord, guide and direct him. Be with him today, Lord. Give him that power that he needs, Lord, to preach your message today. Lord, I pray it falls on ears that really need to hear it. Something that we may need to take home, Lord, and use in our daily Christian lives. Be with us, Lord. Keep us strong. As in Sunday school, Lord, help us to dare to be a Daniel. Help us to stand up for you, Lord, in all that we do. Every minute of every day we're away. Be with us, Lord, as we study together today. Just guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Just so you're aware that we're having a little technical trouble here, so don't worry about the screen until we get it fixed. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all right. 812, please. 812.
See.
You folks, that's good. Where am I? Oh, evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Scripture God used to save Martin Luther. It's good stuff. Don't want to miss out on that. Music meeting is going to be September 24th. Evangelism Day is on the 24th. We have women's Bible study scheduled for the 26th. This is going to be at Autumn's Place at 6 o'clock. Wilton Bible study is on the 28th, and our church picnic just down the street on the 30th. See, the women's missionary meeting scheduled for September 29th at K. Trehune's home is done. Just forget about it. Cross it out. Please check with Sandra for the date in October for women's Bible study. Let's see. Kay says Lutheran Home's going to meet October 8th at 2 p.m. in the chapel there at their facility. And then teacher training meeting on October 8th at 4:30 here at the church. And then ladies retreat November 4th at Walnut Park. Pastor's thought for the week, the riskiest gamble that you can participate in, your eternal soul's destiny apart from Jesus. Jason. Oh, that's nice. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Pastor?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay.
And what else was it here? Oh, the church picnic, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, thank you.
Kim and I will have a grill hot down there, the big grill with charcoal.
Okay.
We will bring drinks. I believe the church will furnish that. We'll bring a meat if you want to grill.
Sure.
Or a side, at least one side dish.
Okay.
To share.
Okay.
Is there anything I forgot on that?
Ginger.
So, I apologize for my question.
No. Okay, that'd be fine. Good. Anybody else? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for music, Lord, especially these songs we sang, Lord. They hit right in my heart. I just pray they did the same to everybody else here today. Lord, we're going to take up an offer now. I just ask you to be with the gift and the givers who do so. Pastor's going to speak now, Lord. This is why we came to church, Lord, to visit with each other, to be here today. Be with us now as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. See, Judy and Kathy's going to spell.
What is the oil that we have for our lamps? Come on now. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, if you're a believer here today, you are a recipient of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'll tell you what, if your fire is out, get it relit and let the Spirit take over your life. And He'll give you the oil in that lamp to keep it burning brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. But before the young people leave, just for a minute, I don't know what these papers are. I got to sing one more verse to that. Some of you know this. Give me gas in my Ford, keep me trucking for the Lord. Give me gas in my Ford, I pray. Hallelujah! Give me gas in my Ford, keep me trucking for the Lord. Keep me trucking till the break of day. Sing it out. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah, praise God. There are other verses to that too, but we will limit it today. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. It is a beautiful fall day. I couldn't wait to say that word. Some of you know that some of the things I do secularly, I've been sweating since May. And I'm ready for a little cooler weather. And the Lord's actually delivered that, praise God. But we'll take what He gives us and accept it graciously. But I just want to welcome all of you today to our services. And again today, if you're here for the first time and visiting, we're especially glad. And we want you to be welcome. I trust today, we could do howdy time today, but we probably won't. But do some howdy time as you leave. That's why we've got the foyer, the steps, the sidewalks, the parking lot. Talk to people. Or right here. And again, we're interested in your life because God's interested. And we're here again as well to be interested in your spiritual and our spiritual well-being. I hope you're interested in mine as well. And we need the help and encouragement. That's why God designed the church, again, once again, for the growth and discipling of his people, but also as an evangelistic outreach, as the pillar and ground of the truth in the world that he has given us. So today is a focus on Evangelism Sunday. I hope you're excited to hear that. We'll define what that is here in just a few minutes. But the title of our message is The Gospel According to Isaiah 53. Welcome so much to all of you. We're going to take just a few moments here for silent prayer. I ask that you would consider at least turning your heart to the Lord for just a few seconds and focusing on him. It is about giving him praise, letting him know that he is worthy. That's why we're here, for worship, to show him that he is worthy, and to talk to him a few minutes about yourself here at this time and your walk with him. And then I'll have a pastoral prayer and we'll begin. But it's good to see a nice number out today. Shall we pray? Our loving Lord God, we come today once again with joy in our hearts, Lord, for those of us that are recipients of the good news of the gospel, that you love us and Christ, your Son, died for our sins, bled to cover our sins, to remit those sins, and rose again to guarantee us victory of new life forever and ever with you. Now today, Lord, we acknowledge we live in a sinned, ravaged, and cursed world. Sometimes our focus is restricted, Lord, by the things of this world on your greatness. So today, Lord, I want to take this time to just extol your name and tell you again, Lord, at least I recognize who you are. I don't in the way I should fully, Lord. I'm still growing, seeing you more clear. But Lord, you are worthy. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've come today, Lord, to tell you that by our presence. Now, Lord, I just ask that you would be present with us today. And, Lord, that there would be a connection today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, keep our lamps burning bright through the oil of the Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would give us enthusiasm for the day that we live in. Help us, Lord, to be shaken out of our doldrums and our complacency and laxity, Lord, into a spiritual enthusiasm that is not fake or whipped up, Lord, but that is genuine for your cause, Lord, and for the love of others. Now, Lord, today again, we thank you for all that are in attendance. There's no mistakes, Lord. The people that are here today are here for a reason. And, Lord, the people that are missing today are also, you're working, Lord. And I'll tell you what, we know this, the clock is ticking, Lord. The days are growing shorter for all of us. I pray today that you'll work a work in the lives, that if there's those types of needs here today, Lord, that you'll work a work in the hearts and that you'll draw us to yourself and bring us closer to you into a personal, vibrant walk with you. Lord, we pray for those of our number today that are ill. We pray for those that have experienced severe health situations through this past week, Lord, the previous week. We thank you for sustaining life, Lord, in some that could have been called home. And Lord, we know that when you do those things, there is a reason and there is a purpose that you still want us involved. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that is still sufficient. Now, Lord, today I realize, though, in the hearts of people, there are not only people that are physically sick, but there are people that are spiritually sick. Lord, I'm spiritually ill. I need help, Lord. I need healing and curing, Lord. Grow us and change us, I pray today. But Lord, today, again, I ask for those that are, again, struggling. Maybe there's been a fight in a home. Lord, all kinds of things that may have taken place this morning. Trouble with children, Lord. Rebellion, maybe a broken marriage. Who knows, Lord, all the things you do. But I pray, Lord, once again, you'll work in those lives, that you'll be the great physician and that they will accept your curing and your caring. Now, Lord, as I come now to being prepared to deliver this message, that's a hard thing, Lord. And I have yet to ever walk before a group of people where I wasn't scared or intimidated, Lord, because it is an awesome task to handle the Word of God. And I know this, that teachers are held to a much higher accountability, Lord. We better have it right. So help me today, Lord. I acknowledge I need your help. I need the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to deliver this message today. Now, Lord, may it accomplish. Your word will accomplish. It never returns to you void. It will accomplish the purposes that you have, either that will be accepted and processed, Lord, or it will be rejected. And, Lord, you have your way in these things. So we ask again today for your Spirit's activity in the hearts of the people. Now, Lord, again, I ask your help. May this be a time, Lord, that draws us closer to you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends of the Savior, today I have been led to emphasize an Evangelism Sunday. Occasionally I do this, usually once a year. But honestly, folks, all preaching is evangelistic, or should be. Even if the text may not talk about salvation directly that we would be looking at on a particular day, even though I have always been led to incorporate salvation in every message in some way, because it is an imperative that people, again, be rescued from the consequences of our sin. And that rescue and the lifeline and the life preserver has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited about that. But today there is an emphasis on that. And as I mentioned, not that every day shouldn't be or isn't, but my leading by the Spirit is for all here or listening to focus on the evangel who is. Where we get the word evangelism comes from the word evangel, who is Jesus. Amen. First of all, in your and my life and in the lives of others as well, today and every day is a big deal. Did you hear me on that? Every day God gives us is a big deal. This gathering today is a big deal. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's a big deal because Jesus is the big deal. And folks, what takes place today in our relationship with the Lord is something that is of utmost importance. I pray that God will just shake the daylights out of people yet in the day we live to get them to understand it's about Him. I better settle. No. You don't know what it's like. I could turn it loose, folks. But I'm telling you, folks, we're fooling around in the day that we're living, and we're wasting time, valuable time. Anyway, it is a big deal because of the Lord. Folks, I've got to sit down a minute. I'm having a little spell. Don't get excited yet. Someone just fill in for me a second here. It'll pass. Yes, pray. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Lord, we got to get going here. All right. The question is, and I should have put this in here before I had my little thing there. Today is, and every day is a big deal because of the Lord. My question for all of us, is it for you today? Is it a big deal for you and I? Something to think about. The word evangel refers to the good news or gospel of Jesus. Through his redemptive work at the cross and empty tomb, and evangelism is the spreading of that gospel, the spreading of the good news through the preaching and the witness of you and I. This is big stuff, folks. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus, and your love for mankind. I'm going to say it if you won't, Amen. Hallelujah. What's the matter, people? It's all about Him. And His love for mankind. I got to be careful. You know, Miss Kim told me that I shouldn't teach kindergarten anymore or sub in kindergarten. She says I'm a scary figure. I don't know where Miss Kim went. She probably got bored already. She's out there somewhere. Anyway, much of the writing of the prophet Isaiah. Have you ever read the book of Isaiah? If you have, good, read it again. If you haven't, read it again and again and again. I already got water, Jason, up here. But I'll take another. You know? I'll tell you what, the stuff I'm involved in has driven me to drinking. Extra water, thank you. Well, I could do that. I'm not a sitter, but
bring you something a little taller next time.
Thank you. Is everyone okay if I sit on the job? Okay. By the way, this is not a job, it's a calling. I won't go into that today or we won't get the message done. Huh? No, it's not sugar shock, it's something else. Yeah. Even though I do occasionally have sugar shock. I had a little spell the other day. I can't remember which day it was, but I carry some sugar tablets, so just in case you wondered. Yeah. What's that? I also need a hearing aid, Brenda. The doctor? I'll put that on my list. I actually have an appointment here in October. Yeah. Folks, it's going to be okay. It's like the corn sheller man said, we're done when we're done. And when I'm done, I'll be done. So other than that, I'll keep going, but I have to sit down once in a while when little things happen. Okay? Anyway, where was I at here? The prophet Isaiah, read about it. What's Isaiah about? The bulk, exactly. The whole Bible's about Jesus, but I can't do this sitting down thing. Sorry. I think about Kim behind the steering wheel of the car. All I can see is... The prophet Isaiah introduced the Messiah to Israel. And he also goes on to delve into what the Messiah is going to do, how he'll be rejected by Israel, but how he will come again, and Israel will eventually get the message right, just like a lot of us need to get it right, about who Jesus is and what he came for. You know, that's what it's all about. But today, I'll go back to my text here. Much of the writing of the prophet Isaiah up to this point is about the coming of the evangel, who is Jesus, for lost Israel. Please read the book before and after today's chapter. But today I'd like to start with a verse from Isaiah 52, and that's verse 6, because it sums up what God has done and is doing through Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and his ultimate return. By the way, are you looking for Jesus today? We better be looking for Jesus. We are in that season, my friends. And I'll tell you what, he's going to come. And the day he comes will be the day many people will not be ready for him. But I'll tell you what, folks, you've been warned. You've heard it here at Fruitland Baptist Church through the years, through the whole time this church existed, about what's going on in God's program. By the way, folks, ignorance is no excuse with God. We cause our own ignorance, folks, by our lack of diligence to look into his message and to walk with him in a personal relationship. Well, anyway, this is what Isaiah 52:6 says, and I believe this is the whole deal with Jesus, folks. Here it is. You can factor all the other things into it, but here's what God's word said and what he gave to Isaiah. God says, therefore my people shall, this is I know. What's it mean to know something? If, okay, realize is part of it. If you know how to work an algebraic equation and you can do it right, it means that you absolutely, without any hesitancy, for certain, know how to work that problem. Folks, today, many people aren't really sure about Jesus. But I will tell you about myself, I'm sure as I can be of him. Because he has worked in my life, and he's the only hope I have, folks. There is no other hope but Jesus. But let me finish the verse. This is why Jesus came. Because the Israelites and people in general, right back to the Garden of Eden, didn't what? They needed hearing aids, Brenda. No, they could hear, but they didn't listen. They did not listen. Therefore, my people shall know my name. By the way, what is God's name? I am. They shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And you could add in that it is I am speaking again. And he's speaking through Jesus. Being God delivering his son, God in the flesh, to mankind, to Israel first. He's delivering that message to Israel, once again, of hope and evangelism. Because Jesus is the evangel. There is hope and good news in Jesus Christ. Folks, when God gets done working his program, there will not be one person that has ever been born or one fertilized egg, which is a new life that has come to being, procreation, that will not know who the God of the Bible is, folks. Do you know him today? He can be known. He will make himself known to you. One way or another, folks, our knees are going to bow. I don't care if you've got a stiff knee today. You better acknowledge sooner than later that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you acknowledged him as your Savior today? Because he loves you. He gave you the pass. You remember the story about Aunt Louise and Uncle Cleon and my dad. I won't. Some of you know it. Ask others if I'm not going to go through it. But take it and take it now. Anyway, may I ask though all of us this morning, do you know God's plan through Jesus in your life today? The answers are here in the book. There is help from one another to help us get this right, folks. That's the church. That's what we're called to do. To love one another and to nurture and help each other grow in Christ. That's the message of hope that you have here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Anyway, may I ask, do you have that today in your life? So today we're going to pick up the context of an evangelistic message from God through the prophet Isaiah that foreshadowed the cross, the central focus of all history, by the way. I know I repeat myself a lot, but the cross is a central focus of all history. Everything prior to the cross points to it, and everything beyond the cross points back to it. God's love manifested on the cross of Calvary. Anyway, let's go into our text, where you, whether you have a device or your paper Bibles today. We're going to begin in Isaiah 52, verse 13. We're going to examine this a little bit. By the way, for most of you, and I understand this and I agree, for many of you, if you were to be called upon to share an evangelistic passage, what would you share off the top of your thinking? John? Well, I like to add 3:16 through 18, but the whole chapter of John, chapter 3, is very good. But you can go to any place in the Bible and see salvation if you dig into it deep enough. But I'll tell you what, folks, Isaiah 53 is a good one too. And that's why we're there today. Yes, the Old Testament talks about salvation in Jesus Christ, as we learned here a week or two ago, whenever that was that I mentioned about that. Anyway, today though, let's open up in Isaiah 52:13. Again, Isaiah is delivering this message to Israel. He's talking about Jesus. He's introducing Jesus, the Messiah, in the beginning here of this book. And here's what God gave to Isaiah. He says in verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted." By the way, Jesus did not come as a conquering king. He came as a lowly servant. I'll tell you, that's the God I like to know. I understand God's deity, his awesomeness, but you know what? Jesus came to save people that were needy. He came to our rescue. He didn't have to do this at all, but he didn't, because Jesus was the ultimate servant. He gave it all for everyone.
That's something to be excited about, folks. Anyway, here Isaiah begins to tell under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he shall be exalted. By the way, that's the resurrection that's being talked about. This is Jesus. There is no one ever like Jesus. There can't be, because he's the only one that was fully God and fully man. That's the hypostatic union. He was the only one that could be. Jesus is either absolute truth or he is the biggest lie that's ever been pulled over on mankind. But I'm here today, I'm going to stand up for Jesus. Because I believe he is the truth, the way, and the life. And there is no other way to the Father but by or through him. Anyway, he'll be exalted, he'll be extolled. Extolled means the ascension. I like that part in Acts chapter 1. Everyone's hanging around watching Jesus go up into the clouds. And the angels tell him, or the ones dressed in white, say, what are you doing looking around? I'm thinking of the corn sheller man when he used to get things going. Get to going. The message is still the same to us today. Don't be looking around. Don't be twiddling your thumbs. Get to going. Jesus has gone up to be on the right hand of his Father in heaven, but guess what? He's coming back. So we better be with the program. Get going. And extolled, by the way, that really refers to Jesus being seated at the right hand of his Father today in heaven. By the way, what's the next thing on Jesus' list? He's going to be sent back in the air to receive his church. That's his next thing. He's waiting for the word from the Father. Now's the time, son. Go get him home. Bring your bride home. By the way, last Sunday night we had a wonderful film about that very thing. Verse 14, and many were astonished at thee. Now, I've got the King James here and so forth this morning, which is maybe a little archaic in the language, but I still like it. I think it's a great translation. But that word astonished means made like a stone, petrified. Can I ask you today, has Jesus ever petrified you? Has he gotten your attention? Has he gotten my attention where you became still as a stone and said, I'm going to listen to what he has to say to me? If you haven't had that experience in your life, that's the experience we need to have with Jesus. You understand here about how this all took place. It goes on, it says, his visage was so marred more than any other man. Jesus was beaten beyond any recognition when he was placed on the cross of Calvary. You know what? Most of what we see when we see a crucifix in our modern world shows nothing of what Jesus was really like on that cross. I don't mean use this term lightly, but he was made meatloaf for you and me, folks. Tears could come to my eyes. This is not what we see portrayed. By the way, no one knows what Jesus looked like. Right? The sin that he bore for the sins of every person for all time in this world made him unrecognizable. That's what this passage says. He was so marred more than any other man, and his form more than the sons of men. And here's why. Verse 15, so shall he sprinkle, by the way, that's his blood, was given for many nations. In other words, Jesus died for the whole world. The whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's everyone, folks. Jesus didn't die for the Americans alone. He didn't die for the Europeans or the Africans. He died for every soul. And notice this, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of talk coming out of the leadership in this world. They need to shut their mouths and listen to Jesus. And that's what he'll do when you really see who Jesus is. You don't have a smart response. You shut your mouth and you listen to Jesus. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. 52:6, like I read to you. That's why Jesus is doing what he's doing and did what he did, because he's going to see to it that everyone knows who he is. Do you know him today? All right, let's go into the text because we always battle with that clock. When you think about Isaiah 53, and I've referenced this not too long ago in a message, what might come to your mind? Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch or treasurer. Philip runs into this guy from the African nation of Ethiopia, a treasurer. And you know what? He nominally had gone to Jerusalem to worship the God of the Bible, but guess what? He stumbled across. No, he didn't stumble across it. God showed him, as he called him to salvation, to go to where? The Gospel of Isaiah 53. And old Philip, praise God for Philip. Philip did a little teaching, accurate teaching, because the man had questions. He says, what's going on here in this chapter? And what did Philip do? He preached Christ. Right? He said, that's who this is in Isaiah 53. And lo and behold, what happened to the eunuch? We know that there's evidence that he accepted Christ. He had his sins forgiven. He was born again as a new creature in Christ that day on that road. And as you know, we talked about this, he was baptized and he identified with Christ by baptism and immersion. You know, and he went on his way. God used that in his salvation, Isaiah 53. So that's why it's a special passage. So let's get into it here this morning. So here's what Isaiah, and there's many, many places again, but this is the one that God led me to today. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah is talking to Israel here, but indirectly to us as well. He's saying a lot of people aren't going to believe this. Folks, I can see the cars pass by on the street. I can see the empty seats here today. There's a lot of people that don't believe this. But I believe it's 100% accurate. And if you've had God work in your life, if you've been born again, you know it's accurate. You know when the whole thing is put together, every bit of the scriptures and the things that God does through the power of the Spirit in our lives, it all fits together perfectly. It's the truth. And here he says, who's believed the report? Well, here's how Jesus operates, folks. A lot of people are going to miss Jesus because we know that he's dynamic. But you know, I mentioned he came as a servant. By the way, Jesus, and this again, I may take a little liberty with this. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God in the flesh, fully man, fully God. But Jesus came as an average man. He came to represent the prototype of all mankind. So we see renderings and pictures. Don't get too caught up in that, as they're probably inaccurate. But I believe this, Jesus was an average-looking man in his humanity. And I believe it because that's what the Bible says. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. By the way, if you look at Isaiah 11:1, Jesus is called the branch. A tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. You know, for Jesus to have attracted people, and I don't, you know, I'm decades behind all the stars and the glitz and the glamour. Some of you that are more attuned to that field of things, you might know someone today that's sensationalized, a man or a woman, you know, in the Hollywood scene or who's on the scene. Jesus didn't have those kind of looks. But that's what people are looking for, see. But I'll guarantee you, if someone's known and famous by their looks, you better know there's probably not much substance within them. Yes, and someone already said, what happened to your head, Pastor John? Go ahead and say it. Denny jumped me about it already. I don't know. I hit it on something this week. But it obviously hasn't knocked any sense into me yet. That's what happens, you know. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus wasn't a rock star. He was the Son of God. And here it is. He is despised and rejected of men. You can prove that today. This place should be 10 times bigger if people were really in love with Jesus, but it's not because they're not. And that's why I'm preaching this evangelistic message today. Because it's in the Word of God. He was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows. Very few people want to see him, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The prophet Isaiah is telling Israel. You see it there? People want to hide from Jesus. Where does that go back to? Right back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. When they transgressed against God, they wanted to hide out. Folks, there's seats empty here today because people are wanting to hide out from God. Let me tell you something. You're going to lose in the game of hide and seek. He already knows. Brother Dave, he knows what's going on. Who are you trying to fool? It's like when I go in to teach school, they recognize I'm a little elderly. And I said, you can't fool an old fool. But there's a lot of old fools that are fooling around, trying to hide out from Jesus. Jesus went through all of it, folks. He knows, by the way, what you and I struggle with. And he cares. And so Isaiah writes in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We missed the message. By the way, who was Jesus? Or I didn't yet, you know, now. I have before I was saved. But there in Israel, what were they thinking here when Jesus is on the cross with two malefactors on either side? What's the general thought? He deserved it. He's there on the cross because he did what Pilate and the rest of the accused him of. No, he didn't. Jesus couldn't have been convicted in a trial. At least not a legitimate trial. He never sinned. In fact, I get out of that verse. By the way, if we don't get done today, we'll have to come back. Is anyone going to have a problem? Well, you know, you can always give me my last pink slip. But please let me finish the message. Sometime. I'm just joking about that. I've gotten in trouble with people. People are going to think you've... Well, I don't know. I don't keep my file. Ease up a little bit. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It's almost like the way people see Jesus before we see him as our Savior is, again, that he was being punished by God for his sins. Jesus never sinned. But, aren't you thankful for buts in the Bible? I had some nasty looks when I said, aren't you thankful for buts? Nancy, you okay? I do have an extra water here. But the thought is interjected. He was what? He was wounded for my transgression. I know the Bible says ours. It means that. But we're a part of our if you're a me. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our or my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We aren't worthy of that, but Jesus died, God in the flesh, the worthy for the unworthy. That's not done, folks, in this crooked world very often. And there is nothing that can compare to this account. It's not a story, it's an account, folks. This happened. I don't like sheep too well. I've struggled. I personally don't raise them anymore. I got involved with them again this week. Our barn, I'm painting part of it, but the high parts, my wife has told me no more. But anyway, the painter was there, and we had to move the sheep and the goats. Brother Marlin happened to be there that day. Marlin had more patience than me, and I'm telling you, Marlin doesn't have a lot of patience with something. Tell them, Marlon, what was going on with the sheep and the goats.
You can't drive sheep.
Well, but they had their heads stuck in the... in the hay feeder. And I even saw Marlon. He got pretty ornery with that. We are on tape here, Marlon. We got to be careful. But no, there was nothing wrong. All we like sheep. have gone astray. But we've got a great shepherd in Jesus that loves us. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming? He says, look, or behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah, amen. He's there to take your sins and mine today. If you've trusted him, he's taken your sins. Past, present, and future. Folks, they're covered under the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise God. Anyway, notice here in verse 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. By the way, people say, I've been oppressed. I've had all kinds. Yeah, Jesus had more. Stop complaining and start thanking Jesus. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. What would you and I have said if the things that were done to us would have been the same as what were done to Jesus? I amused my farmer. This ain't right. I have no reason to be. I haven't done. But Jesus did nothing. By the way, we talked about this in junior, senior high Sunday school. Jesus wasn't murdered. Oh yes, he was put on the cross by all of our sin. But Jesus gave his life voluntarily. For us. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. That meaning silent. In other words, when you get if you shear a sheep, is it okay if I come back another time to finish this? The way you shear a sheep is you put them right here on their hind ends, front legs out, bottom legs out, and you unwrap, and this is called a fleece. When you undress a sheep, you start in the middle and you shear all around that, and every bit of that wool is left in one piece. That's how it's done. That sheep cannot do a thing when you've got a hold of it around the neck and you're shearing. By the way, shearing is not for old people. It's a very hard job and takes a lot of skill. If you shear 100 ewes in a day, you're going to know it. Jesus took everything that was laid upon him for you and me. He was taken from prison. By the way, folks, Jesus did not go to prison, but he went to the grave. We've talked about that before. And from judgment. You know what? Jesus did not have to go to hell. He did not go to hell. He was victorious over hell. He went to the grave. And God resurrected him. He took the message to the prisoners that had not heard of resurrection and said, what, folks, you're going to be raised from the grave of those that had trusted God. We've always been saved all through Scripture by grace through faith. Same thing all the way through. Anyway, here it is, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked. By the way, he was planted in the grave as a wicked man, right? He hung on the cross with two thieves and with the rich in his death. Isn't that called a dichotomy? Guess how he was placed in the garden tomb where he was placed? By a rich man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. Isaiah prophesied these things years before Jesus came on the scene, and it all came exactly as he said. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Jesus was the real deal, folks. He is the real deal. I'm going to come back and finish this text. I'll incorporate it with another message soon. But here's the conclusion today, folks, if you haven't seen enough. But in conclusion, may I ask, is Jesus your Savior? That's for you to answer between you and the Lord. But let me just say this. You can't get around this. He either is or he isn't. And let me ask you this. Have you been delivered from death to eternal life? By the way, that word delivered is the word that we often use as saved. But when Jesus died for our sins, he delivered us, if we'll accept it, from eternal death unto eternal life. He's the bridge. He's the go-between. Once again, between sinful man and a holy God. I say this, folks, this morning. If you cannot say, if you were to die right now, where your soul would rest, and folks, the Bible says there's only two destinies, heaven or hell. That's what it says. Know that you can be delivered today by admitting you are unworthy of heaven because of our sin. And believing and accepting that Jesus is the only way to heaven by his forgiveness of our sin. By taking our punishment that we just looked at in Isaiah 53 on the cross and bleeding to pay the price of shed blood for the cancellation or remission of sin. Because of Jesus' blood applied to our sins, when God looks at the sin of Pastor John, he sees Jesus' blood. And he gives him the pass. Not because of me, because of him. We must believe that we are unworthy of heaven of our own doing because of our sin. And believing and accepting that Jesus is the only way. That's what the Bible says. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12, and many other verses. He took our punishment on the cross and bleeding to pay the price with his shed blood. And he resurrected the new life that guarantees ours as well. If you place your trust and faith in him and call on him and ask him, you will be saved. That's as simple as it is, folks. Religion has made it into a hocus-pocus show. But Jesus is the real deal, and he deals plainly. It's not something complex, even though it is, but it's simple. If you place your trust and faith in him and call on him and ask him, you will be saved. So here's my next question of several I've asked today. What are you waiting for if you haven't? There is no other way, and folks, it's even free. Not free to God. It cost his precious son, having to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But it's freely given to all who will receive it. So what are you waiting for? There is no other way, and it is a free gift at the cost of the life of the Son of God. John 5:24 really sums this up today, folks. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Friend, if you have not got that assurance today, you can have it at this time, folks. It's that simple. If you fear deliverance more than you fear eternal punishment in hell, you better think that one over and come to Jesus now. He is waiting with open arms. Amen. If you're able, take your hymnals and stand at this time. 562. Lonnie, I'm going to ask you to come here and direct this. I'm having a little spell here again. But folks, this is a time before we depart to come to Jesus. If you're apart from him today, don't fear. Don't fear deliverance, salvation, more than you fear hell. I'm glad to talk with you today. You don't have to walk the aisle. You can do this right where you're at, but folks, do it. We never know when our time is going to be done. Jesus is waiting for you with open arms today. I'll be down here. Lonnie, would you lead this for me, please?
Here we go.
Just as I am without one plea, but that to settle this with Jesus. If you have questions, that's why I'm here and others here that will be able to help you. We can't save you, but we can show you again in the scriptures the simple plan of God's salvation that we went over this morning. Let's sing that one more time. Maybe there's yet time that someone is going to come to the throne today for grace and mercy with Jesus and give your life to Him and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Just as I am with us, please, in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, the plan of salvation was laid out. The life of Christ was talked about. What a great message we got to hear today, Lord. Lord, if someone doesn't know you today, God, I pray that you're right before they leave. Maybe at least get it done today, Lord.